started in a backyard, and I think I mentioned this maybe once before, but I like mentioning that. I came from the same backyard fed that had Mike Mondo, which is, you know, Mikey from Spirit Squad, Tony Nese, who's obviously on 205 Live.
Yep.
And, you know, a couple other indie guys, Jim Sullivan, me, the owner of FTW Wrestling, Sean Stern, my brother, the rock star. Like, we were all in this backyard fed. And so what happened was we were doing it, and these, like, local, like, older wrestlers came. Like, I mean, like, old. You know, like, dudes in their, like, 40s at the time. And, they were, like, you know, the guy's kid made them go there. And one of the dudes is a real scammer, and I think he just saw a bunch of young marks and he was going to scam us out of money. But the other dude was actually a guy. You know, he was this guy that never made it, but, like, locally in the indies back then, he was a dude who was always on the shows. And, you know, he took us over to the LIWF, which was the doghouse. And he took a few of us. At the time, it was only, like, Tony Nese was too young. He was, like, 13. I mean, he was, like, 15, I don't know. But he was tiny. It was, like, me and two other dudes went, and we started being wrestlers, you know? And so we trained, you know, like that old dude, Don Rock, is the guy, was his name. He trained us originally. And then, you know, while we were at the doghouse, we would train, like, with Lathan, who was, like, the head trainer there. And then Lathan was called what do you call himself, the Tower of Torture. he had, like, 50 gimmicks, this guy. He was just out. Like, things were different then, man. Like, this dude was, like, imagine, like, this guy was running this whole school, and, like, he had, like, five different gimmicks, and, like, they had these student shows, like, twice, like, for every Friday and Saturday night were, like, shows, like, these student shows, and it was, like, its own world in there, man. Like, they didn't give a shit about the athletic commission. Like, nobody cared. It was so, it was, like, in a ghetto, you know, it was, like, in Queens, over by, like, Cypress Hill Cemetery, and, like, back then it was, like, a lot rougher. It was, like, the first place I ever saw somebody smoke crack.
Wow.
You know, so I trained there, you know, and then from there I went on and I trained with Mike Whipwreck a little bit. And he was a good trainer, but he was a real dick.
How so?
No, he really was. He was really mean to me, dude. I don't know why he did not like me. But I had a good group of you know, talented people that were in my training group. Was like Quiet Storm, Chris Devine, the SATs, Red.
Wow.
Like, we all trained. Yeah, we all trained together. And all three Maximals, too, which I don't like any of those guys either, but I'm saying they were good in the ring. Can't deny that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, so we all trained together. And then after that, after Whipwreck, I stopped wrestling pretty much for a while because it kind of made me hate wrestling because such a dick, and those SAT guys were such dicks that I was like, whatever. I wrestled a little bit, and then I kind of stopped for a few years. And then when my buddy Sean wanted to start FTW, I was like, maybe I'll start wrestling again. So then,
yeah,
when I started wrestling again, like right when FTW started, I met Sabu. So then I trained with Sabu for a little bit and kind of got back in the swing of things. And then,
how was Sabu different from Whipwreck?
Fucking totally different, dude. Sabu, like, what people don't realize, he's, I mean, maybe not much now, but he was the most, like, old school and, like, cerebral fucking, which I think is ironic, because I think on a big level he wasn't, but,
yeah,
but in the, you know, like, in the time that I knew him, he was very smart about the business, like, you know what I mean? Like, very, like, knew how to handle everything, like, from, like, you know, he really taught me about how to get bookings and, like, how to negotiate and, like, what not to do as far as, like, you know, like, don't fucking lower your price to a guy because then they'll make you work that price forever. Like, just old school.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's very old school, but, like, he was just business savvy with that shit. And I guess at that time I had no idea about, like, how to really, I think a lot of indie guys still don't, you know, like, he taught me a shitload of that. And then, like, also just answered a lot of, like, on the job, in the moment, questions of, like, you know, like, things that come along while you're doing this and you're trying to get better and you're trying to get out there and, like, be like, I don't know, should I be doing this or, you know what I mean? Or, like,
yeah,
do you, you know, like, if you're injured like this, what would you do? And, like shit like that. He had good answers, you know. He's always, like, without obvious, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have medical insurance, or you have this, that. Like, he always had good, obvious, you know, easy answers to get around shit. So he was very savvy like that. So that's the most of what I learned from him was, the cerebral part of the business.
It's crazy too, because he's the perfect guy to ask a question like that. Like, oh, what happens if, you know, you rip your arm open in a barbed wire match? What do you do? And he'll be able to tell you because he's done it, you know? So yeah, that's
exactly pretty cool. like shit like that, or just like, you know what I mean? Or like, what should you get for that? Or I mean, that's hard to think of an exact example, but he was
absolutely
like that.
He's
know?
Seen and done it. So yeah.
From the business side, believe it or not, from him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like, you know, he's another guy that drilled into my head, you know, you got to get bigger, you got to look better, like, doesn't matter if you're a good wrestler. Like, he always drilled in that Vince McMahon quote. He said it was from Vince McMahon, which I've heard other people say. He always said, you know, if the fans on the other side of the guardrail think they can kick your ass, then why would they pay to see you?
Absolutely.